Welcome to the Distog Pod, which is a Distog podcast. Really creative name, but I think it kind of went. I think it kind of went. So that's what we're going with. And I am your host, Kirby McElveen. And
I'm Jeff Hill.
And what are you? Are you the co-host?
I'm the co-host.
Okay. So I guess we've been talking about this for a really long time, right?
Years.
Like even
years.
Before COVID.
Yes.
Pre-COVID idea.
Over 5 years.
And was to start a Distog podcast, and it kept getting pushed off and pushed off. A lot of it was me saying, oh, I don't have time. I don't, which is true. Even now, I still don't have time, but I think I am saying, okay, well, if I keep saying I don't have time, I will never have time. So we may as well just
start. We just
start.
Have to do it.
Yeah, we just have to start it. You just have to make time. So, yeah. And I think we just kind of want to, well, at least for me, it's kind of about talking about Distogging, but then getting it on record, like having some reference of talking about Distogging over the years. Because I even find myself now, like, you know, I used to be able to remember every little event, every little story, every little thing that happened. And now that I've been doing this since 2006, it's been 18 years, and I am starting to forget stuff. I can't remember event to event. I can't remember, you know, what placement we had at that random UFO local back in 2009 or whatever. I used to be able to remember all of that stuff, and I can't remember it anymore. And there's so many stories and occurrences and events and just like funny things that happened, or like maybe little nuanced things that were interesting, but just over time, so much happens. And my memory now is pushing out all the old stuff to just try to remember what I'm even supposed to get done today.
Right. So. And that happened to me too. Been happening to me, and it's been 27 years since I got my first Distog, so it's I want to get all of this out, you know, and be able to talk with people and different subjects, and
right. And I think we've talked about, you know, we know a lot of people in the sport that maybe, you know, they're not necessarily set up to record their own stories, and at some point we may like to get some of those people on here to get those stories recorded on record and find out more about those people, because it's a whole new world now. I mean, we used to have a lot of things. Well, before our time even was the Distog Quarterly, which was like a newsletter magazine type thing. I never got it. Obviously this was before us, but I have a couple of historical copies, which is really cool. But that type of thing, I think, brought the whole Distog world together. Now, of course, something like that today wouldn't really make sense because we're just not in a paper world anymore. And today I think podcast is a language that is very modern. So this is
it
a way is. We can
and
record
we'll
now.
Be able to have this forever. It's not going to get lost. Whereas,
well, unless YouTube gets deleted like TikTok.
But we're saving the, we'll have the videos saved.
Yes.
Which is a lot different than something in print that, who knows what happened to it, or if it falls apart and stuff can get old or whatever, but we're going to be able to do this and have it forever and be able to look back and remember these things. And when we can't remember anything, we don't know. That's absolutely true.
So kind of speaking of why we're starting the broadcast, I think a great first topic, first episode theme is kind of first how we got started, just beginnings of our Distog world. So I think, do you want to take it away and kind of go into, just tell us your origin story. How did you get started? And
So it's all started for me back in 1998. And I never had a dog before. I was actually afraid of dogs because I had a bad experience whenever I was a kid with a dog that chased me. And I was basically terrified of dogs for a long time. But I'm an animal lover. I had cats and snakes and different things like that. I had a lot of different kinds of animals. So when Jen wanted to get a dog, I said, okay, that's fine. I don't really have a problem with that.
I said, Jen had dogs, right?
Yeah, like, she had a few growing up. Yes.
And stuff. Yeah, she was always a dog lover.
Yeah, always.
And they were little dogs that she had, right?
No, she had a border collie.
Oh,
she had a lab.
Okay.
They're all bigger dogs, medium to larger. And she said, well, you know, do you have any ideas about them? And I said, I don't know anything about a dog, except they catch Frisbees, right? And she said, I think so. I said, well, get one that catches Frisbees, and then I could play with the dog. And that'd be great. So she narrowed it down to three breeds. And it was a mini Aussie, a Corgi, and it was a small hunting dog. I don't remember what kind, maybe some kind of spaniel. And she kept looking at him further and further. And she said, I think this miniature Aussie breed would be really good. So back then, they were hard to find. They weren't like they are now.
Like, what year was this you were looking for?
98. Oh, 98.
Yeah.
So we were living in Pennsylvania, and the closest breeder of mini Aussies was in New York, which is, this is unheard of now. Now, if you want a breeder, you could probably just look down the end of your road or something, because <they're, laughs> mini Aussies are all over the place now. They're very popular. So she found one, and it happened to be on a project that I was working near Niagara Falls. So when I was at the job site, I said, hey, why don't you get me in contact with this person? I can go see them, see their dog, talk to them and stuff. And so I did that. And I didn't know how to evaluate a dog. I didn't even know I was supposed to evaluate a dog. I just went there and I just watched them running around doing whatever. And I really liked him. And we named him Sydney. We got him, and he was maybe around 8 months old at the time.
So, oh, he was 8 months. Yeah, you didn't even get him at like
little puppy. No.
Oh, so he was a little older.
Yeah, he was one of the extra dogs from her litter that she hadn't placed in a home yet. So, but we got him and brought him home, and I got a floppy disk. And
it was the old floppy flyer.
Yes, it was the floppy flyer. It looked exactly the same then.
Yeah, the watermelon. Right?
Yeah, watermelon. So pink, like fluorescent, pink and green. And so we were living in an apartment, so we couldn't really play with them. I didn't know about even going to a park. That wasn't even an idea to even do that.
But you had a lot of land there,
Not in my, we were living in an apartment at that time.
Oh, that's right. This was before you moved.
Yes, before we moved. So I went to my parents' house probably after a couple of weeks, and I took him, and I went out of the backyard, and I threw it terribly, and he caught the very first one. And that is basically where everything began from there. So
what if he had bobbled it? What if he didn't catch it?
It would have been okay, but I wouldn't have known how to teach him.
No.
He just threw it and caught it. He just went and he caught it. And I didn't teach him anything properly, how to return the disc, how to do anything.
And you just went out there and threw it.
He was a miracle doggy. and at that time, I was living in Pittsburgh. There was no clubs there. And I know at some point in time, they eventually got some clubs. And then there were some other clubs, maybe Maryland and probably some in New York.
I don't think there's a club right now in Pittsburgh.
No, there was one. There was one a few years ago, I know. And then, but I haven't heard anything lately, so I don't think they're there anymore.
I don't know. I feel like they're so far away. I'm so out of touch with that whole region. and I haven't been up there to compete.
And at that time, the internet was around, but there was nothing about disc dogs. I didn't even know the term disc dog. I was just playing Frisbee with my dog.
That's what it was. It was Frisbee.
Yeah, that's all it was. And so I did that for a number of years. And then the next Frisbee dog that we got was Toonie. And she was also a mini Aussie.
Well, let me back up a little bit, because I want to know where you got the idea of Frisbee dogs, because you wanted a Frisbee dog. I mean, you had a Frisbee dog in mind when you got a dog. Where did that come out in your mind? Like, where did you see that?
I don't think I ever saw Freestyle. I don't think. I probably saw something on TV. I couldn't even tell you what. There was nothing in my mind that I'd seen. I'd never seen someone in person doing it, period. I'd never seen someone doing it.
Okay.
So, but I was thinking, what could I do with the dog? And I had played sports growing up, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you throw stuff for the dog, but I just want to go out and throw a ball. That's not really interesting. That's not a sport to me. So I wanted to be more like a sport.
It's not? Isn't baseball a sport to you?
Throwing a ball to your dog
tennis?
Isn't really a sport for me.
Okay.
In my mind. Okay. So I was thinking of a sport. Well, I got to throw something to him. Well, they can go after Frisbees, right? I don't know if I'd ever really seen someone do that or not. I don't know.
Well, maybe it was like, you know, you might have seen it, but then you didn't really think anything of it. I mean, I saw.
Probably. It's probably just in the back of my mind.
Like Alan Thibodeau and Jasper. A longtime Southern California disc dog player on Pet Star. When I was a kid, I think I saw it, but it didn't really like register with me. I thought, wow, like what that dog's doing is really cool, but like it never registered with me that that's I didn't realize there was a whole sport around it or anything, or like that I could do that.
I certainly didn't know there was a sport. I mean, how would I have found out if I didn't see it locally?
You probably saw something.
In terms of it being a sport, though, to know about competitions, it took years before I knew that there were competitions.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. You probably just saw it in general somewhere.
Yes,
and it was sort of like a little butt in the back of your mind and trying to remember.
Right. it may have even been that when Jen was looking up the different dog breeds, she was looking up in books the different things they can do, and it probably said Frisbee, and that may have been
maybe that kind of like piqued your interest. That particular breed interests me because they could do something like Frisbee.
Right.
And you never had played Frisbee before, like by yourself. You're not an all-time player, never played disc golf,
never did anything like that, never knew those sports existed. I never owned a Frisbee growing up.
So Frisbee, for some reason, with the dog interests you.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Well, I knew I couldn't throw a baseball or a football for the dog. So I had to do something else. I couldn't play hockey.
You couldn't throw it, or you couldn't throw it to the dog?
I couldn't throw it to the dog. So then we actually moved to Virginia, and that's when we got Toonie, who was a mini Aussie, and she was just so sweet and adorable and cute.
Yeah, she's cute. A little try.
Oh, just
fluffy. She's like a little fluff ball.
Yeah, just a ball. For one of her nicknames was Fluffosaurus, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I started with her, it was in Virginia. I couldn't get her to play.
Yeah.
And then that was basically it. I just didn't play with her. I just played with Sydney.
Yeah.
I still didn't know anything about the sport, that there was a sport. So then finally in 2004, we moved out to California, and we're there here in California for about a month or just a few weeks. And then Jen sees an advertisement for a Frisbee class at a park. And she said, "You want to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, there's a class for it." I'm like, "It's crazy." So go to the class, and honestly, the class was not good. I'll just be honest. But the very last day of class, we had a special substitute teacher, which was Pon Saradeth.
Multiple time world champion.
Yes. Yeah. He's awesome, awesome competitor. But I didn't really know anything about him, but he came out and we said, Toonie's never played, never caught a disc. She doesn't really want to go for it. And he goes out there and he's playing with her for 30 seconds. And he said, I'm going to get her to catch. And I'm thinking, what? I've been trying for years. At this point in time, she was 3 years old. Pong goes out there. I swear it was the second or third time he threw. She goes out and catches it. And I couldn't believe it. And what was it? Skill level.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
He was able to throw a disc that went out. And it just stayed out in front of her nose. It didn't do this and that and go all over the place. It stayed right there. And she ran out there and she caught it. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, that was the moment I think I realized that you need to be able to throw good. I saw it right there in that moment. And then luckily for me, another class picked up. And you know about that one as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll kind of get to the meeting, the rest of the dogs and stuff. So I guess I'll go into my origin story.
Which is kind of where my story breaks.
Yeah, we can kind of meet. We can kind of meet in there, and then we definitely need to introduce our dogs, that's for sure, because that's definitely the most important thing.
yes, absolutely.
So I actually started not disc dogs, but agility with a Shih Tzu named Lucky. And so that was kind of my entry into the dog sport world. I had seen it. I had seen like Westminster on TV. I think it was Westminster because I just remember it being very purple. So I have a feeling that was what it was. And this was back in 2003, 2004. I had seen Westminster on TV and anything like agility. And I thought that was so cool how they're having the dogs go through all the obstacles and there is such a bond there. And I think it wasn't even just necessarily the activity or the speed of the dogs that I remember, but I just remember, oh, wow, like the dogs and the people are doing something together. That's so cool. More than just going for a walk. Cause I was obsessed with dogs as a little kid. So, I like to say that I was kind of birthed into the X pen. I came out of the womb straight into the X pen with the Yorkies. My mom's wild. I mean, if you know anything about my mom, she's absolutely crazy. And, proof of that is that when she was pregnant with me, she got two Yorkie puppies, a boy and a girl. And they were like 4 months old, I think, when I was born. So,
wow.
So she had two Yorkie puppies and a baby at the same time. So I was raised by Yorkies. And so one of those Yorkies in particular, the girl Sparkle, she was kind of like a, you know, how they say if you want, if you don't want to have to deal with a real pet, get a stuffed animal. Sparkle was kind of like a stuffed animal. Like, she wanted to be dressed up. She wanted to be held, and she was so calm and so chill.
Oh, like me.
Oh, yeah. So calm. Calm at all. She was the opposite of you. So,
oh, my God.
No, she was cute. She was cuddly.
Oh, my
she
God.
She was so sweet. And so she kind of made me fall in love with dogs, because I was like, this is dogs. A Sparkle. Max, the male one, not quite as much. He was sweet and very cute, but not like her. Like, she just doted on it. She loved to be dressed up. She loved to play library, where I'd like set up books around the room and like run around and read her each of the books. She would tolerate it. She was like the best little kid dog ever. And so she was really the one that sparked my love of dogs, which her name was Sparkle, but her real name was 99, which anybody who's watched Get Smart knows Max at 99. I didn't know that.
That's been a long time since you told me. I totally forgot. But yeah.
I didn't understand the reference at all. So
I love that.
I thought, I was like, 99's a number, not a name. So I said, I'm calling her Sparkle. But anyway, so I called her Sparkle. But so she kind of started my love of dogs. But then as I got older, not that much older, I was 7, and I kind of started complaining to my mom, hey, I want a puppy. And my excuse was, I've never experienced a puppy. I love Max and Sparkle and they're great. But, you know, I don't remember them when they were puppies, and I never got to experience a puppy, mom. What about a dog just for me? That's all mine. My mom's like, oh God, no. And then I remember we went to a movie for my birthday. Embarrassing. I think it was Recess, School's Out. Like, what a lame movie. I wish it was something better. Like, at least Pokemon would have been more.
Wait, you want something that's not lame, and then you said Pokemon.
Stop being a Pokemon hater. Pokemon's great. Don't be a hater. My favorite thing. Shush. That's going to come out eventually. I'll go on a Pokemon rant at some point here. But, okay, so after the movie, and this is back before we knew anything about pet stores and where the dogs come from and all the awful, awful things about the whole pet store, pet industry trade. This is way before we knew any of that. That was just where you went to get a dog at the time. And before we went into the movie, I saw little Lucky, this Shih Tzu puppy, right in the front there. And he was the cutest puppy I had ever seen. He was all white, with like a little black spot on his side, a little black spot on his tail, and his face was black, and he had this cute little white blaze going up the face, and he was the cutest puppy I had ever seen. I had no idea like what Shih Tzu was or anything like
especially
that.
Especially those ones as puppies, they're just a little ball of
fur. Oh my gosh.
I mean, they're just like a poof.
He was a little poof, and I thought he was the cutest thing I'd ever seen. And I was like, mom, please, this is it. I need. And she's like, no, honey, let's go see the movie. We'll talk about it after. She's just hoping that I forget about this. And like, probably, I think every 20 minutes or so in the movie, I'm like, mom, don't forget about the puppy. Don't forget about the puppy. And I'm talking to her, and, you know, like throughout the movie, she's like, stop. Like, she's really trying to get me to forget about this puppy, but I don't care about the movie. I'm like, puppy. So of course we get out of the movie, and I run into the pet store, and I said, I am not leaving until we get this puppy. My mom's like, oh no. So she calls Dave, my stepdad, and she's like, dude, she's standing in the pet store. Like, she's, and the puppy is cute. So anyway, I worked her down. I wore her down for this puppy Lucky, and brought him home. And man,
he was a lucky puppy.
Funny little guy. Yeah. I couldn't name him.
What do I name him? What do I always call him?
You called him Happy.
Happy.
He was kind of a little grump, though. He was funny. He had a funny little personality. But, yeah, so Yeah, my mom said, you're lucky to have him. That's what you should call him. I'm like, okay, because I couldn't come up with a name for him. I just wanted him. And so we actually ended up going into agility because I saw it on TV. I thought it was so cool. I already had kind of been interested in it. And, of course, didn't get lucky to do agility. But we were in PetSmart on Halloween, and they had an agility class going on that night. And we went there for the Halloween event. And I was like, Mom, can I try it? Can I try it? And I'm so lucky that that instructor that night allowed us to do one little trial run in the class. And I had my bag of treats, and I took Lucky through the like basic little PetSmart agility course, and he totally followed the treat. Like, I don't remember what all obstacles he did. I think he may have done like the jumps and the A-frame and maybe the tunnel. I don't think he did the weeples, but he did eventually do weeples. But that night, he did like a couple of the obstacles, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And so my mom signed me up for the class, kind of got me into the whole dog sport world, which led to us getting Sketch, because we were kind of thinking about another dog. My stepdad was kind of like, we got three little dogs. If we get another dog, like, let's get a real dog, like a, you know, an activity dog. And this was when I was older. I was 10 at the time. And so we kind of started looking into different breeds, and the breeds we were kind of looking at were, it was funny because Dave kind of wanted an American Eskimo because he loves fluffy dogs, like Tux, Pomeranian. He loves little fluffy dogs. And we were kind of like just looking at all different breeds. And I think my mom ended up choosing Border Collie because they're, I mean, you watch an agility trial, what do you see?
Right.
A lot of Border Collies. So she's like, I think if we get a Border Collie, it's pretty good chance that you're going to be able to do agility. And I had already showed some pretty committed interest by going to class and stuff. So it's like, okay, let's get another dog to play agility with. And we ended up finding Jan DeMello Hobnob Border Collies. And we ended up with Sketch. And
is that him?
That is him. I think
you could see it.
Oh, there we go. If I move my head out of frame, this is a really nice art piece done by Tuesday.
That's really Madavi. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say she's a youth competitor in disc dogs, but she's not a youth competitor anymore. Now she's in college. She's all grown up. And anyway, she made that, which was very, very cute. She's super talented with anything that requires art is a talent for her. But anyway, so yeah, Sketch just kind of opened a whole new world. And so we went to a dog agility school, Jumpstart Dog Sports in Yorba Linda, back when it was Jumpstart. And we did agility class, and then come to find out, they started a Frisbee class. And of course, we had been throwing that old floppy flyer for Sketch, the good old, you know, watermelon.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sketch, I don't even think we taught him to catch it, really. I mean, Sketch is just natural. That dog, one of the best catching dogs
you've
ever played with, that I've ever played with. I mean, he was just spectacular catcher. I don't quite remember because I was so young at the time, but I have a feeling he just caught onto it on his own. So he was just awesome with his like floppy disc. And we were like, oh, well, we could try Frisbee class. He's catching the floppy disc. Maybe, you know, let's go figure it out. And, yeah, so we joined in the class, who was actually taught by Pon Seredith, who was the guest teacher for class.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
So this is kind of where our origin stories meet, is it was Frisbee class. So that's where we met back in 2006.
Right, and then Tony Crumley was teaching a second class. There were two going at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And the first class you were in with Pon, or no, I was with Pon, and you were with Tony, or I can't remember exactly.
We were in the first class initially together, and then there was so much. I thought they split off a little bit later.
Yeah, there were.
And then Pon ended up stopping teaching, right. And then it was Tony, and then it kind of went back to one class.
Right.
But we were in class for a while, and then we were separated for a little while because I think you did the earlier, we did the later because I was in school. We lived like 45 minutes away, so it was like I get out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then try to drive in traffic.
It eventually got consolidated to one class that we were in for years. Just.
Right.
Years and years.
But I think initially because I remember meeting you guys in the first class we went to.
Okay.
We were in the first.
Like, see, this is why we're doing this, because
I know. We can't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
So, but we did. I remember in the very beginning, because there was like one class, and I think it was us, you guys, and then there was a flyball team in the class. Maybe right. one other person, like three or four other people, and they were all on the same flyball team. Right. We ended up joining the flyball team. That's a whole other story. Okay. But yeah, but that's how we met, was through the class. And then we kind of, our families kind of all became friends because we decided to go practice. I think you were the one that was like, you wanted to practice, right?
Right.
You wanted to make friends.
I like throwing the disc. It just was something I liked doing with all the sports that I played and everything. I had always liked the sort of the mechanics of sports and learning about them and how to improve and how to get better. I still hadn't competed or anything like that at that point, at least at the very beginning of the class. It didn't take long, though. We were out there competing.
Yeah, really I didn't quick. Even know about competitions right. until the class.
Still didn't know about yeah. competitions. And then, so I start playing with Sydney, but by that time he was probably 8 years old or something like that and not trained at all for it. So he would leave the disc out there. He wouldn't bring it to me. I don't remember.
If he, oh,
he did.
What, like, doesn't,
one interesting thing, I played multiple discs with Sydney since the beginning. So that's something I always did, was play with multiple discs. And the reason for that is, well, I didn't train him to retrieve it. So I'd throw it and he wouldn't bring it back. So I'd just make sure I had a pile of them so I can keep moving on to the next one. That's more or less how right. I played with them, you know, before I went to class and started learning what you really needed them to do.
Right.
And I was only in class for maybe 6 months or a year, and I was liking it so much. I was like, and Toonie still wasn't really playing. She was just starting to learn a little bit about it still. Just, she would kind of catch them and stuff, but, you know, she wasn't too into it. And she was 3 years old already, or 4 years old by then, and still wasn't that into it. And I said to Jenna, I said, I think I need like a dog that I could train from the beginning in the sport so that I could kind of train them right.
And yeah, and your other dogs were far enough in age away.
They were. Yeah, it had been 4 years. It was time for a doggy. So that's when we went to Arizona and we got Enzo.
Oh, I didn't know you got him from Arizona.
Yes, and I fell in love with him. He's my heart dog. Sweetest dog to me. I mean, he just absolutely loved me. I bonded with him like crazy. And he was so into Frisbee.
Yeah, I remember my first meeting with Enzo, and you think like a little puppy wants to come up and like say hi to you and stuff. I took him, and I remember holding him, and he's like, no, give me back. Give yeah, me back to my dad. Give me back to my like, dad. He wanted nothing to do with me. And I was like, what the heck?
He always just loved me. Everything was about me. And that's how I became so close to him. And at this point, I mean, just to be honest, I still wasn't like a crazy dog person at all.
I
started to become Enzo crazy, and it didn't happen right away. It took a while. Probably once he was a year old, I realized, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do the rest of my life as like my thing, like, my favorite thing to do, I guess, in the world. And it's been like that ever since. And so he taught me a lot. He taught me how to throw pretty good, because he was not the best catching dog, but he was very aggressive on the disc. He would always go for it, always, you know, he would kill himself just to catch.
Yeah.
He didn't want.
He was super athletic.
Crazy athleticism, fast as heck. Yeah. Ridiculous. Of all the dogs I ever had, he definitely has the fastest acceleration from a dead stop in just one or two strides. He would disappear on you. And that made it a little bit of a problem for freestyle, because I go to throw something, I'm in the middle of my throw, and he's flying around like crazy, and I'm trying to do a trick throw that's up close, you know, and then he comes flying back to me and he'd smash into the disc and stuff. But he didn't have the best skills in terms of catching, but he was so into it. He lived and breathed disc. Just loved it. But here's the thing, because of that, he was kind of okay at everything, meaning he was okay bringing it back to me. He was okay at dropping. He was okay at...
like all the basic foundations you kind of had.
All of the basic things he could kind of do, but I never reinforced them. And that was the problem. He was never great at any of that stuff.
Yeah. But you didn't really know. Like, you knew
more. I didn't know.
You knew more, but you didn't know, like, everything. Right,
right. So I'm just thinking, he's already bringing it back to me and stuff. Let's not reinforce that. I didn't even think about reinforcing it. So I was just... just go with
like,
it.
Like, that's great.
That's great.
Right, he's doing it.
I don't have to worry about it anymore.
I don't have to do anything.
Well, that turned out to be a big problem. It turned out to be a big problem. He was still a really, really good Frisbee dog, especially in freestyle. His freestyle was great. His toss and fetch, because he wasn't great at catching, was questionable, but when we went to the finals, I always had 100% confidence in him that he would catch, and he always did. And you know that too. We were always the best at the finals. When I went to the finals with him, I felt that we were at our absolute best for the whole year leading up to that point. And usually we had the best scores we had all year and everything like that. We just would do everything to our best ability.
Yeah. Well, in our region, I think back then there was less toss and fetch pressure. I mean, we had some good toss and fetch teams, but not quite as much as over there. But I think that's probably stories for another time. That's all the stuff that we
and Enzo was a really small dog. He was
he wasn't cute, very big.
Adorable little black and white Aussie.
How tall was he?
28 pounds. He was about maybe 18 inches tall most.
He wasn't like micro dog type,
but he was
small.
Micro dog, but
he was definitely
just
small.
Above micro dog.
Like a lot of people thought he was mini Aussie.
Yes, a lot of people.
And he's full Aussie, right?
Yes, full Aussie. And he came
even
from
though he would
some pretty.
It, he would herd like a border
collie. He did herd like a border collie. He also had eye. He would, when I'd take the disc out.
Yeah, he did do that. It was funny. And his head would go down. Like, he totally did the border collie thing. But then, man, he was really athletic. I would say Enzo is your most athletic dog you've ever had.
Yeah, I would say so overall.
Like, if I had to pick one and say, just give them the title of most athletic hill dog, it's Enzo.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that. I think there's a close second, but that one comes later.
I wonder who you think that is, because I actually have a dog in mind too. And I don't, and here's the funny thing, I don't think it's the same dog.
So, I think yours, the one you might be saying, is the next one that I got, the next doggy that I'm
in. It is not, but we'll.
So, not long after we got Enzo, a few years, we got Slate. And Slate is actually turning 14 in, about a week and a half now.
Yeah.
He's gonna
a week and a half from recording this, yeah.
He's going to be...
By the time this is uploaded,
he will be 14, which is super exciting. And he's doing great. He's super healthy, so I couldn't be happier about that. Slate is related to Enzo, but not directly. It was the same breeder and the same lines, but not, super, super close. I think maybe like great grandparents.
And you went with a totally different color on Slate.
And he's a blue merle, and he is definitely the smartest dog that we've ever had. And that intelligence made some things very difficult.
You kind of wish he wasn't as smart.
You know, everyone wants to get a smart dog until you get one that's really smart. But he taught me more than any dog I've had, period. Because he didn't want to do any of it. He didn't want to have anything to do with Frisbee. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. So what that trained me to teach dogs to do it, to, how do I say this?
Like put the idea in their mind, like train a terrier. Almost.
Make
it
think
like
that
make them think
they came
up
with the idea. So if you could, that's really important. I think with my training philosophy is if you can convince the dog that it was their idea, you win.
Yeah.
Then they are going to do it every single time for you. They're not doing it for you anymore. They're doing it for themselves because they want whatever, maybe the next thing that's happening, or maybe they just like that aspect of it, whatever. That's what he taught me. So I learned how to get a dog to drop, a dog that can retrieve, a dog that will hand it to me. I learned how to train those things so that they're pretty much automatic. And I kind of came up with a program with him because he would get the disc and run. He would actually hide. And it wasn't because it wasn't like a fear thing or anything like that.
This is a puppy.
He was a bad boy.
He's like, you're not getting this from me.
Yeah, you want the disc. He would take off. He would actually hide. If I was working with him inside, he'd run behind a couch or something like that. Or he'd run through the doggy door and I couldn't find him. And he'd be inside of the tunnel. I go to get him. He'd go running around with it. And he thinks it's hilarious, right? Well, I had to learn how to...
He's playing with you.
right.
You're not playing with him. He was playing with
but
you.
But I eventually convinced him that this was his game. And when I did that, it all worked out really well. He became a really good Frisbee dog, and he was fun to play with, but it wasn't his favorite thing. He liked agility.
Yeah, agility was kind of his thing. And he also kind of attached a little more to Jen.
Yes, yeah.
Jen does agility.
Right, right, right. So our dogs tend to either attach to her more or me more, and it's 50-50. It's been 50-50, and it's been every other dog, and that's not by design by us. But we realized that's what's going to happen because if the most recent dog that one of us gets attaches to me a lot, Well, all my time and effort is for that dog. That dog's always sitting on my lap and bugging me and everything. Well, the new puppy comes in, and then it's going to go gravitate to her more. And usually she probably needs a puppy to train and things like that. So it's just been every other one.
It's funny because for me, all the dogs just gravitate to me.
I wonder why. If only one of us played with the dogs, that's how it would be with us too, you know?
Yeah.
But luckily, some of the dogs have been really good in both sports. You know, like right. Agility, yeah, Key. And Key was and really good. Enzo. And
even Toonie.
And Toonie. So, you know, about half of the dogs, I'd say, were really excelled in both.
Well, so since we mentioned them, let's keep going down the line. So let's
keep going.
Keep going. Let's introduce the rest of your crew so then, and how you got them.
So after Slate, we got Slate's baby Key.
Yeah, baby and Key.
It was like
so
a little
cute.
Mini me. And she wasn't mini. She was.
She was
a micro dog. Not a mini Aussie, but she was a micro dog. And yes, she won several world championships, which is just amazing, especially since agility is her pastime.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was her favorite thing to do. So, but she taught me a lot too. It helped me with Enzo because he wasn't good at catching. He wasn't the best catching dog. And she had a lot of problems with catching as well. But I just kind of channeled that throwing ability that I did with
Enzo, yeah.
Enzo and brought that over to Key. But before Key, I actually went out of order here. There was Muse.
Yeah, wait, hold on. You totally skipped.
We were talking about Slay. We had to talk about his baby. So
okay.
So then the legend.
I was thinking, I think you're missing somebody.
Which is actually Key's sister. So,
half-sister, right?
Half-sister, yeah.
They have the same...
The same mother.
Mom.
Same mother.
Yeah, so they're related, but not through Slate.
Right. And, correct, yeah.
Yeah.
The same mother.
Same mom.
So, Muse came to me as a little tiny ball of fur.
I can't believe you.
Just... Don't forget, just you know,
I'm just
going out of order a little bit.
Okay. Tell me about Muse.
So
I know everything about
her. She came to me as she was 10 weeks old, super fuzzy, and came out of North Carolina. And immediately, I could see that she was going to be a good frisbee dog. I could tell. Sometimes you just know.
Yeah,
and
I'll never forget. Like I think one of the first times I saw you play frisbee with her was at the clinic. It was like a January clinic, I think, like first one of the year. And she was 6 months old.
Yep, she's 6 months old then,
like,
right around there.
You were throwing. It was all perfect. She caught everything, came right back and did her like same handoff that she does now. And pops up and just perfectly hands it to you and goes and gets it. And it was like a little machine.
Right.
She was 6 months old. And I was like, what the heck?
And those techniques I learned with Slate,
amazing.
When I used them with her because she really wanted to do it. Oh, it just worked like automatic. She was just so fast at handoffs. Great at her retrieves. It was wonderful. She's the easiest dog I've ever had to play with. She loves, just absolutely loves it. And she was not much into agility. She didn't really like it. She played it for about a couple years and that was it. And then she just focused on disc after that. She could catch, she could run, she could jump, she could retrieve fast. Anything I wanted her to do, any kind of tricks. She was good at all the games. If it was a Skyhounds game or FDDO type of games, anything like that, it didn't matter. She would do everything, and she did it all great. Distance, won distance events with her.
Yeah,
it was
anything with a disc,
just spectacular.
Muse could do,
and it won many world championships, and all that stuff. I'm sure will come out at another time. All the little details we could talk about, but
a lot of Muse stories.
Just a really, really special dog. I'll be quite honest, because she was just so good, so automatic. Muse didn't really teach me anything because she was so good, right? I mean, you saw it. Anyone who's ever seen her play, it's just obvious.
She's
just
so easy,
so
to
natural and fun. And but there was no progression with me in terms of anything I learned. She just allowed me to maybe expand my abilities where I would start doing really cool throws and things like that.
Yeah.
And things I didn't really do with the other dogs because they weren't at that level of ability that she was. So I started doing a lot more fancy tricks and things like that. So the next dog is Punky. And Punky is a Tri-Aussie with
the tail. And Bucky was, to be clear about the order, it was Slate, Muse, Key, then Punky.
Yes. And Punky is a half brother to Key.
Okay, that's right.
Is that the... No, Key is her aunt, his aunt. Key is his aunt. It's hard to remember all of these relationships because a lot of my dogs have some
relationships. Yeah, there are some another. Like relationships. See, I keep the relationships the same, so it's easier to keep track of. So he is related to Slate and Key and Muse. All three of them, he's related.
Yes, he is. Okay. Yes, he is. And then it starts getting complicated.
Yeah, well, it's complicated. I'm just
second cousin.
I'm not thinking what kind of relationship, but he's related.
Okay. They are all related.
Yes.
And he's a black tri with a tail. It is my first dog ever to have a tail. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, it is when you don't have a tail on a dog for years and years and years and years. And
it's then you finally get a tail.
It's odd, you know, but I love it and didn't cause any problems. He doesn't chase it or anything.
that would have been fun.
He's my little boy. He is just so sweet. I love him. He's very athletic. He jumps really high. He's fast, but he's a little bit of a challenge. What's his challenge?
What is his
challenge? Yeah, yeah.
Which one? He's challenged in many ways.
He is, but catching is a big problem for him.
Catching is one of his biggest challenges.
Yes, it's a little rough for him. But
he seems like he has some eyesight issues, maybe.
Yes, he has run into things while running full speed that are in his way, like, you know, in the yard. He's even run into the wall. He's gotten better because I think he realizes where things are now, so he just doesn't really... do that
I have anymore. A fun fact about Punky that relates to me that I don't know that you realized. My first agility trial ever was with Punky. Did you
yes.
know that?
Yes, your first agility you run that, you ever right? did okay. with Punky.
Yeah, that was my very first agility trial ever. Another story for another day, but yeah, just a cute cool. little fun fact. I love Punky, he's funny.
So after Punky, the next one we got him as a puppy, and so... Now we went back to getting some dogs a little older. So the next one was Zen. And Zen we got when she was, again, she's like 7-8 months, somewhere in that range, I think. And we got her out of New Mexico. And Zen really attached to Jen. And she is a Blue Merle. And she is the one that I would say, in terms of athleticism, after Enzo... It's her. She is, man, she's fast, especially her running ability. I don't think Enzo in a 30-yard dash or 40-yard dash or something like that would not be able to keep up with her.
No.
Very, very, very
but
few
she was,
dogs
she's
would be able
a little
to do
bit
that.
Bigger.
She's than definitely him. Bigger. She's more like 35 pounds, and he was, you know, I don't even know if he was 30. He was probably a little under 30. So Zen is a powerful dog. She runs fast, and... She's won several world championships, and just I've been lucky to be able to play with her, and she's exciting. I would say one of the most exciting dogs I have to play with, man. It's just really fun. And then we got Bon Bon. Hey, Bon Bon, you want to come up? Come on, Bon.
Hey, Bon Bon, come here. Yeah, Bon Bon's joining us today.
So then I got Bon Bon, and she was almost a year old when I got her. And the reason I got her is because I wanted to have another micro dog. We lost Key to epilepsy. So at a very young age, very, very, very young age, and she hadn't been playing in a few years anyway. So I needed to get a micro dog because I really fell in love with that micro dog division, just playing with Key. So that's how we got Bon Bon.
You liked those little discs?
I like playing with them. It's challenging. So it's
I think she wants to talk into your microphone there. She keeps putting her nose on it like, what is that?
So I got Bon Bon, and she also won... a bunch of world championships. She is just incredible. She's
really good.
I'd say she's a little better in toss and fetch, but she's really great in both toss and fetch and freestyle and the games.
She's good at everything. Yeah, everything. She's pretty all around.
Yeah, she loves, absolutely loves the sport. And she's my little girl. We are very, 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 very close. And she's always sitting on my lap and stuff. She's always right by me, follows me everywhere. And now the newest puppy is Cheeky.
Yeah, Cheeky.
And she's another Aussie with a tail.
Yeah, you went back. You got another one with a tail.
And she is, I mean, she's just absolutely adorable. And she doesn't have any relationship to the other dogs, and neither does Zen. Neither does. Oh, Bon Bon has a is related,
but like way
generations back to Toonie. So Toonie's breeder is the it's so hard to remember all who's these all things, who. But
yeah,
either Toonie's breeder or the I think she was Toonie's breeder. Anyways, they're related as well.
They're somehow related.
Similar lines, and she's just not as fluffy as Toonie, but she's smaller.
She does have like a similar shaped head though.
Yeah.
Their heads are kind of similar.
Yeah, they do. And they have a lot of similar mannerisms, which is really cute.
That's funny.
Yeah.
They really don't look anything alike, no. Other than their face shape is a little similar.
Right. And they're also both very sweet. They're both very sweet dogs. And Cheeky now, she is
7 months.
I was going to say almost in a few days. By the time this video comes out, she will be.
7 months.
She is, I'm not talking about a sweet dog. She's sweet. Just sweet, sweet, sweet. She's learning to play. She's looking really good. Her catching is pretty good, and her retrieval speed is really fast.
Yeah, she's quick.
So I'm excited to play with her. I don't know
how big she's going to get. She's your calmest dog. She's like so
calm. Not at home. She's not calm.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I feel like
she's wonderful in public, though.
Yeah, she really is.
So that brings me basically up to date with
I've got.
Yes,
that's a lot of dogs. That's a lot of dogs. And I have a lot too.
So when we started in class, you started with Sketch.
And how old was he? You kind of had a combo. You started with Sydney and Toonie,
and then we got
Enzo shortly after.
So you started with Sketch, and he was about close to 2 years old.
Yeah, he was. He was about two, and then. We played for a little while, but it wasn't very long. It wasn't long after you got Enzo, actually, that we got Flash. And the reason that we kind of found out about that whole McNabb world, which Flash is a McNabb, he's a black and white McNabb. He was really, really cool. But kind of what led us to getting a McNabb is one of the club members in our local Frisbee club had a McNabb clutch. You remember Sung Hyun, and his red and white McNabb clutch. And I saw that dog and I was like, wow, that dog is so powerful and speedy and so athletic. He was just a really neat looking dog. And
that's exactly what you got with him too. You got that athleticism. You got that.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh man. Flash was, I mean, we talk about your most athletic dog. Flash was my most athletic dog.
Powerful,
would you agree?
Powerful dog.
I think most athletic.
All I would say Torch.
All around.
But see, I just spoiled a little bit. See, we didn't get to him
yet. Look, if somebody's watching this and doesn't know Torch, I'd be shocked, but who knows? So we got Flash from Ron Prentice. I don't remember where he lived at the time. I think Oklahoma. And Flash was really, really cool, but he was lazy. He was like the most athletic dog. He was brilliant. It was kind of like Slate. There's a lot of parallels with Slate with Flash. Flash
really is good at catching and those really kinds of things.
Beautiful jumper, so fast.
Not so much worried about returning, just like Slate.
No, he was like, I'll get there when I get there. But the thing is he was so big that he covered a lot of ground.
Yes.
So he didn't have to try that hard. If he just put like a little bit of effort into anything, it was fabulous. But to get Flash to put any effort into anything was a challenge. So he was just a wonderful dog. He was super sweet. He was just like, he was friendly. Like, he wasn't overly friendly, but it's not like he was a jerk. He was really about his people. McNabs are very like one person dogs, or they're core people. They're not super outgoing, but he was very sweet and
He's a tall dog. He was tall.
He's stand
up. When I was standing, he'd be able to get his paws and put them on my shoulder when he was standing up to me.
He was about 23 inches to the withers, and he weighed 48 pounds in his prime. He was a big boy. But
he was lean too, though. I mean, he was.
Lean 48 pounds. Yeah, he was a big
for sure.
boy. He was really big.
He would have been 60 some pounds.
If he was overweight, he would have been really, really big. He was a big boy. And he was super tall. But man, just gorgeous, gorgeous dog. And he had like two different colored eyes. He had a blue and a brown eye.
Slate did too.
Well, that's common in Aussies too, especially if they're merle. And not so common in McNabs. But I had never seen a black and white one. So Flash was a surprise Christmas present. And
I used to call him Snoopy sometimes.
He was kind of Snoopy-ish. Yeah. He was just so funny. But Flash was awesome. So Flash, I learned a lot, of course. He taught me a lot, but I man, if I had Flash now.
Oh boy. Those are stories we need to do sometimes. Yeah. What would we have done differently? What could some of our dogs have done if what Jeez. We know now?
I know. Well, Sketch, don't even get me started.
Enzo.
Don't even get me started. So Flash was super awesome, which led to us getting another dog, but not quite yet. I had another dog before getting another McNabb. So my third Frisbee dog was Blitz. This is a dog a lot of people don't know, which is kind of a shame because she actually taught me the most of all of my dogs, I think in all regards, not just Frisbee, but also just like training a dog and all of this. Like she was just really special. She was kind of a nightmare, like the first five, six years we had her. She was kind of a hot mess. And we actually got her at a flyball tournament. The very last flyball tournament I ever went to, they had this border collie, and she's a split face border collie. So one side black face, and then the other side she had white with speckles. And she also had one ear that would go straight up and the other that was tipped. She was so, so cute. And she was a little smaller than both Sketch and Flash. And I was like, oh, she's so cute. She's a little smaller. So we kind of fell in love with her at the flyball tournament. She was already like Frisbee toy crazy, but she was not good with other dogs. So she was not going to be a flyball candidate. So the flyball team rescue wanted to find her a home because she was, this girl was not going to be doing flyball, not with any other dogs on the field. So it ended up being a perfect story because she came home to us and Frisbee was her thing. She was obsessed with Frisbee. And Blitz, you know, everybody says border collies are one of the smartest breeds in the world, but Blitz was not that. Blitz was not the brightest girl, but I think a lot of it is her upbringing. I think she was just corrected for anything that she did. So she kind of, like, even when I was training her, it was hard to get her to try something. She was always afraid to try something new. Mm-hmm. I think she thought she was going to get corrected. But I think a lot of her problems did stem from that. And then I don't know how much socialization she got. She was pretty reactive with other dogs, and she's just had a lot of issues all around. So it was a lot of working with her and kind of finding ways to make her successful and viewing your idea in competition, or like at least in the world of Frisbee and competing with a dog and viewing success in a different way. Success was different for Blitz. Success for Blitz was going out on the field and not looking behind her as she runs back with the disc, like being fearful of another dog going after her, or not nervous peeing on the field or something like that. So with Blitz, it was a much different type of success. It was not necessarily win the competition that day. It was, you know, make sure Blitz is comfortable. And so, you know, over time she became more and more comfortable, and this dog came out that was really pretty spectacular. And I remember kind of, she had a, it was 1 year she made a lot of improvement and kind of came out, and she started really nailing the freestyle, and she started getting up there.
Yes, I remember. I mean, she's one of my favorites of yours. You know how much I love her.
Oh, yeah.
I love playing with her. And, but, you know, dog training is so humbling.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to accept that every dog that you get, you're going to end up with a certain range, you know, that where you as a team can get to, and you just have to accept where that's going to be and not try to push them beyond anything that they're just not going to be capable of doing. And you got to be happy with what they're able to do. As long as they want to go out there and play and do as best as they can do, that's all you could really ask for.
Yeah. And that was a lot of Blitz's world, was figuring out, but she did place several times. She ended up, you know, placing here and there, nothing I ever expected, but that kind of made it all the sweeter, right? You never thought she would do this or that. And she did all kinds of like amazing things. I mean, I feel like we really reached beyond anything I thought was in our potential wheelhouse. So she was super fun, but taught me a lot. I mean, she was a nightmare first 5 years of having her. And then she ended up being like the most awesome dog and so sweet, and ended up having lots of doggy friends. And yeah, she was so cool. But, So I mean, I could do a whole episode on Blitz, but we'll give the other dogs some time here. So next dog after that, we went back to McNabb's. Flash's sister had a litter, and out came baby Torch. And I picked Torch at 2 days old, just off a picture. We knew we wanted red and white just to be different from Flash. And we wanted a male. And there was only two red and white males to pick from. And we simply picked Torch because we thought his little white marking on his face was slightly cooler looking, looked a little bit more like a flame than the other dog. And we were kind of going to go with a fire name potentially for a red dog. So yeah, picked Torch, 2 days old, sight unseen. You know, all we knew is that he's red and white male, and his mommy is Flash's sister. And well, dad, of course, we knew dad, but he was unrelated to Flash. So we got Torch. When he opened his eyes, he actually had a blue and a brown eye, which was pretty rare for the breed. So it was kind of funny to end up with two McNabs with a blue and a brown eye. So I think that was maybe the first sign that it was meant to be. And Torch came home, and he was just kind of a little spitfire right from the beginning. I mean, third roller I ever did to with him, he caught it at 10 weeks old, and he was just frisbee crazy. I mean, I didn't have to teach him to run back either. He would just come right back and spit it out. Just, he's like, let's go. But yeah. I mean, he was rolled just out. Fast. He was, and yeah, he was just crazy. He was crazy about frisbee right from the get-go, born to do it, which is actually ended up being funny because I take him to do sheep herding years later for an instinct test, and he totally front
looking around. Yeah. What am I doing? What?
Yeah, no, no, he wanted nothing to do with it. So I'm like, yeah, you were meant to be a frisbee dog, buddy. Of course, if he was around sheep younger, maybe he would have had some interest, but I like to say I think he was meant to be a disc dog. And you know, I think I could go on and on and on about Torch's accomplishments, and we'd be here till 2 weeks from now, probably. And I mean, he's just awesome, awesome boy. He kind of doted on my every word. He's, you know, he's a legend. He's awesome. He's just the best boy, and just incredible, incredible disc dog. And I will say with him, you might think getting like the perfect dog, sometimes they don't always teach you. Like, Mavis didn't teach you a lot. I think Torch taught me a lot, because while Torch was disc crazy, he wasn't perfect. Like, wasn't like he was like a superstar master catcher. In fact, he was really bad at catching when I first got him, like as a young dog, like even up until a year old, he really was kind of terrible at catching the disc. And I was like, oh no, like he's so into this and he's crazy and he's got great foundations. Like, he'll play freestyle, he'll play toss and fetch, but he can't catch. So, and I could tell he was going to be athletic. He was trying to jump. He was trying to do all these things. I'm like, oh no, he can't catch. So that was one of our biggest hurdles. And we kind of met each other in the middle on that. I had to get really good at throwing, and I worked on his catching skills with him. And so he got a lot better with his catching. He never was like the best catching dog, but he ended up being really, really good. He's yep. very solid. Yeah. So definitely could rely on him to catch most things.
Having a vice grip for a mouth that was like this helps.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it did. I do attribute some of his success to being bigger. I mean, Flash was 48 pounds in his prime, right? Torch was 43 in his prime. So a little smaller than Flash, but definitely not a small dog. He's a big boy, 22 inches up the shoulder, maybe 22 and a half. And so he's not a small dog, that's for sure. But so after Torch, we got Spirit. And Spirit did not come much, he didn't come too long after Torch. Spirit came, let's see, Torch came February 2010, and then we fostered Spirit in June of 2010. So
you weren't planning on you didn't know you were keeping
her? Oh, no, 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 no. Spirit was never supposed to come to our house. Spirit was supposed to just be a transport from the veterinarian's office, or I'm sorry, from the shelter to the veterinarian's office. So Spirit was actually in the Southeast LA shelter. And he had a fractured elbow, so they couldn't adopt him out to the public. So he's put on medical, and when they're put on like a medical status in the shelter, not just anybody can go to adopt them. They need a rescue to, you know, pull them from the shelter. So a rescue offered to pull him, and then they went on Facebook and they needed volunteers, somebody to take him from the shelter to the vet that offered to fix him for free. So Dr. Kenneth Jones, he's, I don't think he's retired, but he's getting up there now. He's been practicing vet med for a long, long time, but, so had to take him from the shelter to the vet office. And they offered to fix him for free. So my mom saw that on Facebook and she's like, hey, we need to go take this dog. And I really could use a carpool partner so we could use the carpool lane. So this is how my mom dragged me into her first little rescue mission of many.
That started a whole thing.
That's our whole thing. We'll get to that in a second, though. But so we took Spirit from the shelter to the vet, and this was on Lakers Day Parade, and that's why this was such like an ordeal. The Lakers had won the whole
NBA championship.
Okay, I don't know anything about sports. I only know about sports half times. I don't know anything about actual championships in sports. So, but it was insane because everywhere. I mean, people were just pouring from everywhere for the Lakers parade. So it was a little bit hard to navigate, but anyway, so Spirit got to the vet. We took him there and then, of course left him at the vet for, I think he was there for maybe a week because he had a surgery and then they were kind of going to watch him for a few days after. I don't know if it was quite a week. And then we were to take him from the vet and take him to his new foster. Well, he never made it to his new foster. because when we went to go pick him up from the vet, the weirdest thing happened and I opened the door and I was in the passenger seat. So the concrete was next to me when I opened the door and my name, Kirby, which is not a very common name, was actually etched into the concrete right there, which was really, really crazy. Like some wacky sign from the universe that I needed to have this dog. And I was like, oh no, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. No, 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 no. We already have a puppy. Like we can't keep him. And so the vet's wife, who was the receptionist, because this is a small vet clinic, and she's like, no, no, no. I think you guys need to foster him. And I'm like, no, we can't. Like, this is crazy. And my mom's like, no, 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 no. And she worked us over. And so we ended up calling the rescue and saying, okay, we'll foster him. And so we ended up fostering him and rehabbing his whole leg situation. Spirit was never intended to be ours. And so you know how that went out the window really quick. We fell in love, especially me, and decided to keep him. And I'll tell you, within a week of us saying, we're keeping this dog, the terrier fur started sprouting. We had no idea what he was going to be. I actually thought he was a lab mix, and we thought he was going to be maybe like 30 to 40 pounds.
He never really got any bigger.
And then he sprouted terrier fur, and I was like, oh no.
But the good news is he was your first micro dog.
Well, yes. And I'll tell you how that happened, because Spirit was not supposed to be a Frisbee dog at all. I wasn't planning on doing any of that with him, especially he had the fractured elbow, even though it had been repaired and he was healed and everything. I was like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, he didn't seem like the Frisbee dog type. Well, he saw Torch playing out in the yard and I came in and I put the discs on the counter and I went back to my room, sat in my chair. And next thing I knew, Spirit's in my lap holding a disc and he's shoving it in my face.
Awesome.
Hey. I was like, oh boy, he wants to play. So then I took him outside and I did a little roll of him and he was all, yeah. Like he was all crazy for it. So I was like, oh boy, he wants to do it too. So he saw Torch doing it and said, put me in, coach. Yeah, that was my accidental Frisbee dog. And he ended up being micro dog because he was small enough. And so I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. So he was my first micro dog. So my next dog after Spirit was Bolt, and he came straight out of the Madera shelter in Northern California, and we just saw a picture of him and thought maybe he kind of looked McNabbish, like he had a very cute look to him. Kind of looks like Flash and Torch a little bit, and so got him from there. We fostered him for a little bit and pretty quickly decided we were going to keep him. He's super athletic. He's a bit of a challenge to get started. He didn't have a ton of drive right off the bat, but built that up. He ended up being a really, really good Frisbee dog. He's super athletic. He's fast. He can jump. He's just a little mentally unstable at times. He's a little bit challenged. He's, you know, sometimes his brain, I think, fires in all directions. It's not at the same time. Like, he's just a little bit off in his mind.
Well, that's the thing. When you have a number of dogs, you start experiencing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And that's the word we were talking about earlier, the expectations. You always got to keep them in check, and you got to know each dog's going to be totally different, and you got to...
When Volt is on, he's really on. Like, his claim to fame is he got 10th at Skyhounds, and there was maybe 100 competitors in Open, and he was just having a day. He just was catching everything. When he has his days, it's really good, but most of the time, what he'll do is, like, he'll either have a really killer freestyle round or really killer toss and fetch round. Rarely does he put both together on the same day. He'll usually do one or the other really, really awesome. But when he puts it together, he's great. He's just a little challenged at times, but now he's 11, so he's kind of winding down a little bit, but he's fun to play with. He's a good boy. And then after Volt, we went a little bit of a different route, and I went back to a female dog, even though I said I would never get another girl dog after Blitz. And I got Sora. And Sora is a pretty interesting story. She actually came all the way from Japan, which never did I think I was going to import a dog from Japan. But here she is. And how I found out about Sora was through Kosuke Harai's dog, Jake. They were having a litter of Jake and an agility dog named Solidea. Solidea is not really a Frisbee dog. I mean, she plays Frisbee, but not competition Frisbee. And she's a USDAA Agility Grand Prix national champion. So they came to the U.S. and won that. So mom's an agility champion. Dad, Jake, is a disc dog champion. He won USDDN. And so that was the breeding. And I thought, wow, what a crazy breeding. That must be good. So I didn't know much about the mom at first. I knew Jake was really cool. I'd seen Jake in person, really nice dog, friendly, and, you know, just seemed to have his mind together. And I think that's a little bit of a challenge to find in border collies. Sometimes they can be a little neurotic, a little crazy. Some can be a little reactive. I wanted none of that. I wanted all, you know, not reactive. I wanted, you know, that was the biggest thing, not reactive or not predisposed to being reactive genetically, right? And kind of a tendency not to be neurotic, hopefully, because I know that they can be. So that was sort of why I was interested in Jake. And there were a lot of good border collies, but a lot of them were rescues. So I was like, I can't even track these dogs back to where they came from because I don't even know where they came from. So Jake was interesting. I was like, oh, that's a nice dog. Of course, all the way in Japan. So definitely made it a little more complicated. And I didn't know the mom. So I'm like, that's a big question mark. But I asked a lot of questions to the mom's owner, and she was honest with me about the mom. The mom's a really nice dog. But what really sold me, she's like, so Solidea outside of the agility ring is super calm, like just totally stoic and calm. And then when she goes in there and the leash comes off, she turns crazy. And I was like, oh, that sounds like what I want. And so I was like, okay, I think this is going to be good. And that's pretty comparable to what Sora is like. She's pretty chill off the field. And then when we get on the field, she's crazy. And Sora is just superstar legend. I mean, sky's the limit for her. Her name Sora is Japanese for sky. So I kind of wanted to, I didn't necessarily need a Japanese name, but I thought it was kind of cool. And actually my mom came up with Sora. She's like, this is a cool name. Hmm. So actually not named after the video game, like some believe. I've never played Kingdom Hearts. The main character Sora. I've actually never played Kingdom Hearts. So even though I am a video game fan, but
me too. We'll have to do a video sometime.
Yeah.
Or argue about which one's the best.
What's funny is we're totally different tastes in video games, yes. But we'll have to try each other's and see what we come up with. But so Sora's all the way from Japan. Come here, Sora. Sure. Let's see if she'll come up here. Yeah, she doesn't really want to jump on my lap unless I'm in my other chair. Come on up. Come here. She's like, I don't want to.
You don't want
to. She's like, no. She's like, I want to lay down. she'll jump in the back of my chair, my like office chair when I'm working, and she'll just sit behind me and like she'll put her head on my shoulder and say, "What are you doing? Is it time to go play?" And Sora's awesome. She's done multiple sports. She's really cool. Agility, sheep herding, barn hunt, like you name it. She's tried it or done it, and she's multi-talented. There's just not enough time to reach all of Sora's potentials, which that's the challenge with Sora. Time. I need more time to reach everything that she can do. And after Sora, I got another micro dog, which is Flair. She's half border collie, half Papillon. I got her from Amber Abbott in Arizona. And this was back in 2020 before COVID. I had asked if any, like, I had asked Amber because there was not a lot of border pap breeding going on. It's much more popular now than it was even 5 years ago. And I really liked Amber. And so I inquired and said, "Hey, you know, let me know if you're going to have another litter." And she said, "Yeah, the mom XO is getting older. We're going to have one more." And I was like, "Ooh, it's a little too soon." I was hoping it was going to be a little further out, but I was like, "You know what? I'm okay. That's fine. I will take the closer timing with Sora. That's okay." Because I really was wanting that particular pairing of XO and Swinger, Flair's parents. So, yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up with Flair. She came home as a COVID puppy. Of course, I committed to getting Flair before COVID even happened, I think. So, and I was so excited about her. We actually went to visit her.
Remember? Right in the middle of COVID when we had to visit her.
Yeah.
That was kind of
on the way. Time. Yeah, there was only one competition we did that year, and it was the IDC finals. IDC finals. And yeah, so she drove out there.
She was 4 weeks old? Or?
I think she was 3 weeks.
Three? Wow. They were so little. Yeah, so
we took a little.
I mean, they were like.
She was just a little nugget. She's so cute. So I got to meet her. She was so funny. She was always trying to play with her siblings. And which is perfect because she came here and, you know, she's playing with her siblings all the time. She loves to play with Link and Sora and, you know, Pester. And so funny. Off camera, Sora's like nudging Jeff's hand. Her, like, pet me. She's here.
Lots of pets.
She doesn't want to jump in our laps, but she wants to be pet. Oh, yeah.
Now you can see her.
She wants to do it on her terms. Sora's very independent. It's very like what she wants when she wants it. And she's smarter than me, so she a lot of times gets what she wants. But back to Flair. Flair is awesome. Flair's multiple time world champion. She's really cute, man. She got the Papillon ears, which I'm so stoked about. I love her little Papillon ears. She's the cutest little dog. And she's the one. I think if you see me now competing, you see a lot of Flair and a lot of Sora. And so that brings me to my newest dog, which he's now a year and a half. He's coming up on two, which is crazy because I feel like I just got him. And I went way back and I got another McNab. And this time, instead of it being Flash's nephew, which I think I actually didn't say that. Or no, I did say that. I said Torch is Flash's nephew. So Link is actually Torch's nephew. So I went back and got another McNab. And,
with a tail, though.
Yeah, with a tail this time. And his name is Link. And that is actually a name after the video game, Legend of Zelda. He was born on the day that Tears of the Kingdom came out, at least in California time. So technically his birthday is one day before the release date, but in California time, he was born on the release date. So he got named after Link. He's, it's funny though, because like Link's sort of like this dainty, I don't know if dainty is the right word, but he's like kind of smaller, you know. And Link is just a big old boy. Like, he's so beefy, like, just big,
he is,
dorky boy. He's so funny.
He's a big boy. He's, I absolutely love him.
But he could rescue me from a castle. He could.
Love him. He is so funny. So cool. I love hanging with him. He's,
I'm really close with him. His personality is the funniest thing ever. Oh my gosh. He's hilarious. I can't even explain what he does sometimes.
There's nothing serious about him at all.
No.
It's just happiness and wiggly. And
but he's athletic. I mean, he vaults off the couch and it's like, whoa, dude. And he's so fast. He's really, really cool. And he's very slow to mature. He's a totally goofy boy, but he's really sweet all around. So I'm in love with him. He's awesome. He's just, he makes me laugh every day. And I need to find some video clips of some of his antics or make sure I'm filming all of his antics because he just makes me laugh all the time.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. Hilarious. Yeah. There's nothing bad I could ever even think to say about him. He's just so cool.
He's really cool. He's so funny. But yeah, I mean, long stories, but we have a lot of dogs. We've been doing this
for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. So I started 2006. And what would you say your start year is?
98.
But then what was your first competition? First competition,
I think it was in 2004, maybe. Probably 2004. It's hard to remember. I thought it was 2005, but then Jen said, no, it was 2004.
Oh, okay.
So.
And was that in California?
Yes.
So you just showed up to something randomly or whatever and.
It was. I have two in mind, and I'm having a hard time distinguishing between the two competitions. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with both of them, just because I can't remember which one was actually first. I think they were like maybe with a month apart.
Oh, okay.
So the first one I'll talk about real quick is it was a Wags for Wishes, and it was before you were playing.
Yeah. My first event was Wags for Wishes, but it was, I think, the year or two after.
Right. So we have a very similar story in terms of our first competition when we started because it was the same event. Of course, right. I can't remember which one mine is, but we'll just go with Wags for Wishes for now. And that was a benefit for Make-A-Wish. Yeah. It was great. So all the extra money went to the kids. So that was really nice. And I went out there not knowing what I was doing. And at that particular event, there were a lot of people in the novice division. Of course, first competition.
There was a ton of people. Novice. Well, part of the reason is because they also had dock diving, agility.
Fly ball.
They had fly ball. They had like a lure coursing event.
Confirmation, lure coursing. They even had herding.
They had herding. I think the herding was just an instinct test. It wasn't actually a trial, but there was a ton of people. So all different sports.
There's a ton of things. I'm probably not even remembering half of it. And probably like doggy costume things and contests and different things. It was great. So the novice division had somewhere around 100 people in it. So that's a lot. Yeah, and a lot of these people were already playing because they were doing fly ball. And a lot of the fly ball dogs, especially then, were also doing disc. So I go out there, and it was only with Sydney. That's the only dog I had at the time that would play Frisbee. And I went out there, and when I finished my first round, the guy who was running the club, who is still a close friend of ours, of course, is Benny Wong. He's on the mic. He gets onto the microphone. He was judging, and he takes the microphone. He comes out on the field. He says, hey, you know, whoever you are, you're not novice anymore. Because he said, you throw better than me. And the funny thing is that he wasn't joking. I really did. I mean, I was already throwing 40 yards at that time because I'd been playing for 6 years. And, you know, I like sports and I wanted to learn how to throw and everything. So I was already a pretty good thrower at that time. So he was already kicking me out of novice. So that was the only time I got to do novice. Not that that bothered me or anything, but I thought it was really funny. I mean, my first time going out, I don't know anything. And so that's my story for that one. And the other one that's kind of a first story kind of thing was an FDDO, which was at Sino Sports in Arizona. And Bill Waters, who ran the FDDO, was there setting stuff up. So the Sino Sports was like kind of like Wags for Wishes, huge event. All different people, fly ball, all the stuff was there. But this one went on for like almost a week. So we got there because we were doing agility. We had to be there the whole time. So we got there, I think something like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I see them setting up the Frisbee stuff. So I just went over and started talking to him. And I didn't know who this was or anything. I just said, hey, I'm thinking about trying this. Or I am trying. I guess I already signed up. And he starts just talking to me a little bit about the history of the sport. And Bill Waters is a legend in the sport. One of the OGs. I mean, one of the most important people. And, of course, I don't know anything at the time. And the guy was just, he was so sweet how he talked to me. He was just so nice, so welcoming. And that's the thing that so many people in the sport are like, is just welcoming, because that we really do want
people to come into the sport. Yeah, even at the highest levels.
Right. We want people to come into the sport and make you feel good about it. And that's exactly what he did. It was just so nice. I mean, I talked to him for hours. Like, as he was setting things up, I was helping, you know, move things around. Because FDDO has an obstacle course. So there's a whole bunch of equipment for that, laying it out. And then he said, hey, you want to come try? He said, the whole time this equipment is out here before the event starts, go ahead and do so. It was like 2 or 3 days. I was out there practicing all the different things.
That's why you did so well. No, I'm just kidding.
And then, then as soon as I went out there with the dog, it was just a total disaster. The timer started, and then, you know, you hear it's 10 seconds, 30 seconds, all the stuff. You know, I was a disaster. But that was my other first event, because, like I said, I can't remember which one actually happened first. And it was that particular one. What sticks out to me is Bill Waters introducing me to the sport. In a different way than just talking about this, you know, we'll go throw a frisbee. Here's how you do it. It's more like, well, here's what you want to do with your dog. And here's how you want to, when you go out into the field, you know, relax, whatever. I don't remember everything he told me. I just know it was good.
Yeah.
It was really nice, everything he told me. So it made me feel welcomed.
That's good. I didn't even know that, actually.
Yeah, it was really nice. So your first.
Yeah, my first event. One was Wags for Wishes. Same thing in 2006, though, so I was after, and you were there.
Yes.
I don't think you played with Sketch that day. I think you played with Sketch the second day.
Oh, that's what there. You weren't there. I did play with him the day you weren't there.
I can't even imagine. Like, back then, it was like, oh yeah, she had church camp, so she's gonna go to the next day of competition. Like, now I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't miss competition for anything. But different times back then. I was a kid. I was 12, so right. I had a lot of, like, you know, school stuff and all that going on. And so my first competition was Wags for Wishes, and I was in the kids division. They did have a kids division for that event, and it was actually kind of mortifying because I was first in the order, and that was the first event they did of the day. I didn't get to see anybody do it. I mean, I knew what toss event was.
Especially for a kid, you know.
I was terrified.
You have to stand out there by yourself because you weren't like a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old kid that needs the mom and dad.
I mean, I wasn't afraid like that, but I was like a little nervous to go first. I would have liked to maybe see somebody do it. I mean, not that I didn't know what to do, but you know, your first event, you're 12 and you're the first one on the line of the entire day. It's a little bit, scary. So I don't remember our first round going very well. I'm sure I didn't throw great. I think at the time I was probably only throwing like 10 yards, maybe 20. And Sketch was awesome. I mean, Sketch was
automatic. You
know, he was Mr. Automatic, perfect boy. And then our second round, I think they did a reverse to first type of thing. So we ended up going, I think we were in the beginning again, but we were not first. Thank goodness. So we did way better, jumped up. I think, I mean, there was probably like 15 kids. I think I got like fourth or fifth or something. So not on the podium, but at least, you know, I didn't leave in last place or anything. Because there were some real little kids too that could throw. So,
it was pretty funny for me the next day when I played with him, since you weren't there.
Yeah.
Mom and Dave asked me to play with him.
Yeah.
And I had my highest scoring round because I've been competing for maybe a couple years. My highest scoring round was with him.
Yeah.
And probably my two highest scoring rounds, to be honest with you, because we had two rounds. And it was funny because those scores probably held with me for years. That they were my highest scoring rounds because he caught so well. And he was a lot faster than Sydney coming back.
He was young, though, too.
Yeah,
he was
way younger. Yeah, Sydney was much, at that time, Sydney was like 10, probably 10 years old or something.
Right. Yeah, you said 98. So that was, he was 8, 9
years
old then.
Yeah,
is when you got. So yeah, Sketch was awesome. So that was my first competition. Started out mortifying, but ended up being fun. But I think maybe the most memorable thing of that day was the moment that made me want to do freestyle. I hadn't seen freestyle before, so that was part of the event. It was a USDDN qualifier, so they had the open division. So I sat and I watched the freestyle and I thought that was the coolest thing. And I think one of the first teams out, I don't remember if he was quite the first team or he was one of the first teams. It was Steve Marmolov and Foster.
I have a story too about this. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. Do yours first.
So,
as soon as you start talking about the event, I'm like, okay, I got to talk about
it. Let me tell you my story. I think you know it.
No, I don't know if I do, but mine's different than yours.
So okay. Sure. So first competition, I mean, I'm just a little girl sitting at the flags and, you know, this guy comes out and He's super tall. Foster's a big dog. Like, you know, they're made for each other. That's for sure. Foster is a big boy. Steve was very tall. And, he went out and did this crazy routine. Foster, if you haven't seen him, I mean, they're the 2005 AWI world champions. And Foster is spectacularly athletic, just jumps and jumps huge. And, he did this really neat chest vault sequence where the dog did like a reverse chest vault. He'd throw it behind the back and the dog would jump and vault off of him and catch it. And he did that sequence right in front of me where I was sitting. And this dog skies. I mean, they're both like I said, he's super tall. So the dog's going super high. The dog jumps crazy. And I'm just a little girl sitting on the ground, looking up, watching this dog right in front of me do this sequence. And I was like, whoa, I want to do that. I want to do freestyle. I want to get out there and do what he's doing with the multiple discs and the different throws and the vaulting and the catching and, you know, all the crazy stuff, the stalls, like everything he did, like my eyes just open wide. And I was like, oh, this is a whole new world. I want to do that. So yeah, that was kind of the moment I was inspired to do freestyle.
Well, that's awesome. We got to say that we just lost Steve.
Yeah. We just
very recently.
He was prostate cancer.
Always very, very kind to me, very open, giving advice.
Same here.
Just a wonderful guy, really. I mean, he's really good.
He was always
dude.
Super supportive. And he probably helped us become the players that we became. I mean,
and so what happened with what I was thinking about that event was he said, he went apparently first. He was the very first competitor to go in freestyle.
Well, that makes sense then.
Because you're going to be there. You can't see everybody because it's too long of a day. Those were massive events. So I'm sure when freestyle's about to start, you were there watching. So of course you saw him because he's the very first one. And that had
a bigger impact. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
And that actually plays into the story of why it was impactful for me. At the end of the event, he comes out and they do reverse to first. So in the final round, he's the last one to go because he's in first place. And he comes out and he said, hey, everybody, I started this thing off. I'm ending it. Let's do it the right way. And it was just like this, I don't know. Then the music hit and he comes out and he just blew everybody out of the water. And I was like, that's what I want to do. It really resonated with me. Just to be like, I'm thinking they're going reverse to first. They're naming all these names and you come out and you're the last one, your dog, they name your dog and you're going out there with your dog and you're going out with your best buddy and you're closing the show out because you're in first place.
Yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
And there's pressure and everything. And I'm like, I want to experience that. I want to do that.
Okay. That is so weird. What a weird parallel. And I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's my little ode to Steve Foster. And there's something I forgot whenever I was talking about my first event with Sydney. I completely forgot to see. This is why we need to do this. So we have all this down. I was in a tie at 100 novice players, roughly, or 80 or what, it was a ton. I was tied for top three. And I don't think it was first place though, probably second or third. I was in a tie. It was a three-way tie. And they said, okay, so I think it's like one throw and then you alternate. But there was three of us in a three-way tie. So it was kind of interesting. And I had to go out there and do a tiebreaker. And I guess I felt a little bit of pressure because I've, you know, been an athlete my whole life playing in all kinds of sports. And then up to that point, I just went out and played with them. I never felt any kind of nerves at all. And then as soon as they're like, okay, this is a tie, bring these people out. I don't know how they did it with three teams, but they somehow flipped coins or something like that. And when I went out there and came off the field and I won the tiebreaker, I walked right over to the gen and I said, that's the most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my life. That moment, because it was just all of the pressure. It was like the sports I'd played before, even though it's novice division or whatever, but still all these people went and you have 100 people or almost 100 and you're in tied. I'm thinking this, I felt like the surge of adrenaline running through my body. And then I was able to harness that and compete and do a good job and win it. And that was special. So those are
Did they tell you the tire was for first, or you didn't know?
No, it was. I don't think it was for first. I think it was second or third. Spot. Yeah, it was a podium spot. But still, yeah, and then awesome. I got a little whatever it was that they gave out, a medal, you know. And but they did say, oh, yeah, we knew it was a tie for whatever spot it was, I'm pretty sure. Oh, but yeah. I can't remember exactly. But yeah. As soon as they said tie, and then it's one throw and that kind of thing, I was just like, I was locked in. And I just felt my whole body. I don't know if you get that rush feeling that comes over your body.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got that, and I'm like, I need to keep doing this. I was hooked at that moment.
That's awesome. I don't think that came for me until later, because I didn't get to the, like, I didn't have a lot of success competition wise until later. And well, I can't say I didn't win anything. I mean, we had like youth divisions, but there was usually only a couple kids, and it was kind of like automatically, there usually wasn't enough awards for all the kids. So I was automatically getting something. It was just whether it was first or second or maybe third, if there was even three kids.
Right.
Thing. So it was a little different, my journey that way. But yeah, that's kind of how it all started. I'm still like, can't believe the steep barrel. I had no idea.
Yes. I wasn't sure which event it was until you said Steve, and it all just clicked with me that was really important for me when I saw him do that. I'm like, I want to be the last guy to go with my dog and go out there and be showcased and be that guy, yeah. You know, with the dog out there, my dog, and to be out there with them and showcase them when you're the last one to go and everyone's just watching you, there's and all the eyes are on you and the pressure is there. I wanted that. I really wanted that. And I guess I experienced it a little bit before that when I had that thing with Sydney, but of course it was a novice division. It wasn't nearly as important.
Beginnings of it though.
And that was the beginnings of it. And then this really hit me, you know, like that hit me hard when I saw that. I was like, wow, that's like other level. Like, am I going to be able to do that one day? Am I going to be able to get there? Can I do this? Yeah.
And man, what a journey it's been. Here we are. It has been.
Yeah, we got a lot of things we're going to talk about. A lot of
things, man. It's going to be this episode went, I think, even longer than we thought it was. It we did. Got a lot of stories.
Yes.
I don't think we'll be, I think one of the first questions was, are we going to run out of stuff to talk about? I don't think I guess we will. Not. I think a lot of old memories are hopefully going to come back up. So.
And it will have new ones too. Finally have them recorded, and we can share them with people. And you know, if anyone has questions, you can talk to us about it. And,
yeah, I think at some point we'd love to get, you know, viewer questions, those types of things. In fact, if you've got ideas for what you want to hear us talk about, and you know, go on about, let us know.
If you think you'd like to be on,
yeah. If you've got a cool story or you know something, I mean, I think a lot of disc starters we know. That or if you're interested, come on.
We would
love to, you know, chat disc starting with you.
We want this to be for everybody, whatever level you are, whatever organizations you love, whatever kind of discs you throw. It doesn't matter. We support all of it. We just love the sport.
Yeah. And we want to share that with everybody. We want to kind of make something for the sport that's modern, that's relevant, and, you know, that keeps track of what's gone down in
That's right.
disc dog history. And,
right. And we're going to go back gonna to go things. Forward. We're going to go back to things that were before we started, and we're going to have people on that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, lots of stories and just how the sports evolved since before we were involved and after we got started and what we see in the future. All of it.
Everything disc dogging. It's disc dogging related, freestyle,
toss and fetch games, distance, doesn't matter. Yeah. It's all. Well,
the way the sport keeps growing, it's going to be cool.
Yes, really absolutely. Cool.
So I think with that, we'll finish this off here. And thank you guys for listening. If you're listening, if you're watching, thank you so much. thanks for sticking with us if you made it to the end.
Yeah, if you did, then let us know that you did.
Yeah, write in the comments.
Because I don't know if I believe it.
name your favorite Frisbee dog in the comments if you made it all the way to the end. And let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about. Because this is just the first of hopefully many.
Have fun and keep throwing the discs and loving your dogs. The dogs are number one. Always remember that.
Yes, they are. All righty. We are out.